Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Global Citizen International Digest. I'm Mel Gertov. I'll be reporting and commenting on the most important and sometimes the most neglected international news of the week. Here are today's top stories. In the war in Ukraine, Russian attacks intensify, Trump is finally getting upset with Putin, and Russian violations of international law are piling up. Netanyahu visits Washington, but is another ceasefire possible? And the Trump tariff squeeze is back on. First, the war in Ukraine. Russia is carrying out some of the most intense drone and missile attacks of the war. Trump keeps having conversations with Putin that lead not to sanctions, but to mounting disapproval of Russian actions. More weapons for Ukraine seem to be off the table. Now they're back on. Various news sources had reported that Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth had halted weapons shipments to Ukraine three times on the false argument that stockpiles had been dangerously depleted. In fact, a review of the stockpiles by the Joint Staff concluded that providing continued assistance to Ukraine would not drain U.S. supplies below a required threshold needed to ensure military readiness. Moreover, Hegseth did not advise anyone in Congress, Ukraine, or the European Union about these suspended deliveries, which were on their way from Poland before being turned back. The weapons involved, which include Patriot interceptors to shoot down missiles, are crucial to Ukraine's defense. A number of Republicans complained to the Pentagon about the deliveries. In the past, they helped bring about a reversal of Hegseth's decision. Maybe it has worked again, or maybe it was because Trump is becoming increasingly annoyed with Putin. Trump said, quote, "I'm not happy with President Putin at all," following the latest Russian attacks on Kyiv. "We get a lot of BS thrown at us by Putin," said Trump, "if you want to know the truth. He's very nice to us all the time, but it turns out to be meaningless." Trump said he didn't know who ordered the pause in weapons shipments to Ukraine, and then reversed gears, saying Monday that Ukraine was being hit very, very hard, and he announced, "We're going to send some more weapons." If you're a Ukrainian, you have to wonder what this latest shift means. Which weapons? How many? When delivered? These weapons, I should point out, are part of a U.S. military aid program under Joe Biden. Trump has not proposed any new weapons bill since taking office. No new money for Ukraine is in the latest budget bill he just approved. Adding to the list of Russian aggressive actions is charges from the Netherlands and Germany about Russian use of chemical weapons in Ukraine. Previously, Russian forces had employed tear gas. Now they are accused of using chloropicrin, a much more powerful chemical agent. In an official statement, quote, "The Netherlands Defense Intelligence and Security Service, the Netherlands General Intelligence and Security Service, and the German Foreign Intelligence Service warn that Russia's use of chemical weapons in Ukraine is intensifying. This is a violation of the Chemical Weapons Convention." The Dutch defense minister said Russia is using a wide range of chemical weapons with increasing frequency and is not hesitating to employ more potent weapons such as chloropicrin. He said this is a slippery slope. "We are drawing public attention to this now because the employment of chemical weapons by Russia must not be normalized. Lowering the threshold for the use of this type of weapon poses a danger not only to Ukraine, but also to the rest of Europe and the world. This calls for more sanctions, the isolation of Russia, and undiminished military support for Ukraine," unquote. In a new development on the legal side, the Council of Europe, which is comprised of the 27 EU countries and 19 other European nations, has established a special tribunal for the crime of aggression against Ukraine. Though Vladimir Putin has been found guilty by the International Criminal Court of war crimes for the abduction of children, and there is a warrant out for his arrest, the crime of aggression does not fall under the International Criminal Court or, until now, any other court. Unlike war crimes and crimes against humanity, aggression is exclusively a leadership crime. Only top policymakers can commit it. The new court will have 15 judges elected by the Council of Europe. Another court under the Council, the European Court of Human Rights, has just found Russia guilty of four additional crimes: the shooting down of a Malaysian airliner in 2014 that killed 298 passengers, and, quote, "widespread and flagrant abuses of human rights in Ukraine since 2014, including summary executions, torture, rape, looting, and the transfer to Russia and, in many cases, the adoption there of Ukrainian children. Next, Netanyahu visits Washington, but is another ceasefire possible? President Trump had hoped that Prime Minister Netanyahu would bring with him assuring words about a ceasefire with Hamas. But neither Israel nor Hamas has budged from previous positions, nor has Trump budged from his usual public optimism and private unwillingness to pressure Israel. Thus, we have Netanyahu determined to eliminate Hamas as a player in Gaza's future, and Hamas determined to get a commitment to a permanent truce. These long-standing positions obscure each side's claim to being interested in resuming a ceasefire. But Netanyahu is a master at playing U.S. presidents. He announced that he was nominating Trump for the Nobel Peace Prize. Israeli forces have done nothing to encourage a positive response from Hamas to a ceasefire. As I have reported, the Israeli Defense Forces are again attacking Gaza City, forcing Palestinians to flee once more. The food situation in much of Gaza is desperate. The distribution plan for food aid is itself a cause of many deaths that are occurring as people line up for food. The new relief organization developed by U.S. advisors and Israel, called the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, brings Gazans in close proximity with the IDF. A UN agency has warned that, according to the Washington Post, that crowd control could lead to violence. More than 400 people have been killed in this situation. Reportedly, Hamas's interest in a ceasefire depends on how three issues are addressed by Israel. How aid would enter Gaza during the truce? Hamas wants the UN and the Palestinian Red Crescent to administer aid. How far Israeli forces would withdraw from positions in Gaza? And whether the United States and Arab countries will guarantee that a permanent ceasefire holds. Israel has so far rejected all these conditions. While the parties maneuver, the death toll in Gaza rises. It's now around 57,000 civilian and military. The number of live hostages dwindles, still believed to be about 20. And Israel is reportedly planning to move a large number of Palestinians to the border area with Egypt. The Trump tariff squeeze is back on. In Trump's trade war, Canada is showing it has options for its energy exports. The Times reports on the voyage of a tanker loaded with liquefied natural gas that is headed to South Korea from British Columbia. It's the first natural gas shipment from a major Canadian plant to Asia, as Canada looks to diversify its export markets in the aftermath of Trump's trade war and annexation threats. Trump is set to impose another round of stiff tariffs as his July 9 deadline approaches. Canada, South Korea, and Japan have all been threatened, Trump's notion of diplomacy, though given until August 1 to react to a 25% tariff rate. Several other countries, including South Africa and Malaysia, were informed that they face 40% tariffs. The BRICS group, which includes Brazil and Russia, about 13 in all, are being threatened with an additional 10% tariff if they adopt, quote-unquote, anti-American policies. Trump apparently had in mind statements from the group at its annual summit meeting in Brazil that criticized unilaterally imposed tariffs and the U.S. attack on Iran. This is the second time Trump has threatened the BRICS. The first occurred when the BRICS countries discussed adopting their own currency for transactions in place of the U.S. dollar. But nothing came of Trump's threat to impose a 100% tariff on BRICS goods. Trump's press secretary offered a laughable remark when she said the new tariffs are, quote, in the best interest of the American people. All the evidence, rising prices, stagflation risks, disrupted supply chains, unemployment, show otherwise. Yet the secretary insists Trump's phone, quote, rings off the hook from world leaders all the time who are begging him to come to a deal. Actually, some insider accounts suggest that it is Trump who is begging some countries to conclude a deal. Since April 2nd, all that ringing has produced three tentative trade agreements. In other news, Trump's compact with El Salvador's leader gives new life to MS-13. Donald Trump promised to eradicate the notorious transnational gang MS-13. This is the gang Kilmer Abrego Garcia is accused of being part of, one reason for his unlawful deportation to El Salvador. But the leader of the gang, Vladimir Arevalo Chavez, who was arrested in February 2023 in the U.S., has been returned to El Salvador, along with other MS-13 leaders, as part of a previously unknown deal between the Trump administration and El Salvador's president, Nayib Bukele. So why did Bukele want these gangsters returned? A New York Times investigation has found that a corrupt pact existed between the Salvadoran government and some MS-13 leaders, quote, who agreed to drive down violence and bolster Bukele politically in exchange for cash and perks in jail. Bukele was elected in large part on the basis of bringing down crime. So far from it eradicating MS-13, which the Justice Department designates as a foreign terrorist organization, Trump abetted the gang and undermined ongoing U.S. investigation of it. Moreover, Trump cut the deal with a Salvadoran government that is authoritarian and runs one of the world's most oppressive prisons. But there's more. The Trump administration has contended for months that it cannot gain the return of the Venezuelans like Abrego Garcia, who were deported to El Salvador because the prisoners are under the control of El Salvador. But just the other day, in a court hearing here, the judge discovered that for the past 3 months, the administration has had in hand a clear statement from the Salvadoran government that the U.S., not El Salvador, controls the fate of the prisoners. Concealment of that document might cause the entire deportation case to unravel. North Korea's Kim Jong-un mourns losses in Ukraine. It was a rare event, the North Korean leader mourning battlefield losses on live TV. According to South Korean sources, North Korean units have so far lost 600 soldiers and suffered 4,700 casualties in actions in Ukraine. Kim used the ceremony, which also marked the first anniversary of the North Korea-Russia Mutual Defense Treaty, to note how North Korea has sacrificed in support of Russia. The TV audience was shown images for the first time of North Korean soldiers fighting in Ukraine. Russia says that North Korea has pledged an additional 6,000 troops, consisting of military construction workers and combat engineers. Trump wades into Brazil's politics and gets called out. It figures that a president who should have been tried and convicted of inciting a coup would support another country's president who did the same. The difference is that in Brazil, Jair Bolsonaro will be tried for attempting a coup following the 2022 election, whereas Donald Trump got off scot-free. Trump has come to Bolsonaro's defense with the usual charge of witch hunt. Bolsonaro is barred from seeking office for 8 years, but Trump's intervention supports Bolsonaro's insistence he will run for president in 2026. Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva, Brazil's current president, who defeated Bolsonaro, lectured Trump, quote, "This country has laws, rules, and a boss called the Brazilian people. Give your opinion on your life and not ours," said Lula. Finally, global warming is speeding up. Global warming is not just getting worse every year, it is worsening at a faster pace. A report published last week found that human-caused global warming is now increasing by 0.27 degrees Celsius per decade, compared with 0.2 degrees in the 1970s. That may seem like an insignificant increase, but Daniel Swain, a climate scientist at the University of California, says, quote, "Each additional fractional degree of warming brings about a relatively larger increase in atmospheric extremes, like extreme downpours and severe droughts and wildfires," unquote. Thus, glaciers are melting faster, heat records are being set every year, and sea surface temperatures are rising much faster than predicted. Most worrisome, says another climate scientist, is, quote, "how the general nature of clouds may be changing in response to climbing temperatures. It's a feedback loop that could potentially exacerbate warming and is, quote, one of the single biggest uncertainties in predicting future climate." This news comes as the Trump administration is hiring 3 climate change deniers to replace scientists who had been working on the issue. The 3 have impeccable conservative credentials and ties to the energy industry. The Times reports that, quote, "their hiring comes after the Trump administration dismissed hundreds of scientists and experts who had been compiling the federal government's flagship report on how climate change is affecting the country." The administration has also systematically removed mentions of climate change from government websites while slashing federal funding for research on global warming, unquote. And that's the Global Citizen International Digest for the week. I'm Mel Gertov. Thanks for listening and take good care.